Mom, it's here! Welcome to another exciting episode of the Stoney Richards Live from the Center podcast here at stoneyrichards.com and also available as a free podcast on iTunes, free at stoneyrichards.com as well. We do this every week for you, and you can always contact me on Twitter at Stoney Richards, or however you wish. You can leave a comment on the website, however you want to do that. And we have, like every week, about 20 to 25 minutes that you and I spend with each other telling stories and looking at what's going on. And I got to say at the outset of this, this has been a crazy week. We do this every week, usually on Friday. But this week, you've seen the stock market diving almost every day of this past week. We had the Republican presidential candidates speaking, I can't think of any other way to say it, like crazy people on the debate on Thursday night. Oh, my gosh. Dr. Ben Carson describing, if not an attack from space, then perhaps he's looking at his poll numbers and thinking it's time to make a movie pitch to Michael Bay or somebody. But the scenario that he described about an attack from outer space was probably based in some reality, but the way he presented it, it sounded like a pitch meeting at a Hollywood studio. And of course, Sean Penn realized this week, I think he was meant to be an actor and not a journalist with this Rolling Stone story. This El Chapo story becomes incredible as we now find, as somebody said the other night, that Sean Penn looks more like the drug lord that we've been chasing, and El Chapo looks like some guy living in Hollywood in the picture. But as a result of that, if media being media, if you saw the, I guess what some would consider the pretty cool shirt that El Chapo was wearing, he has now become the new fashion model for men's shirts in Los Angeles and no doubt in Mexico and around the world. The shirt, that little blue thing with the, it almost looks like a paisley, but it's rather 70s, it has taken off. And they can't keep these things on the shelves. People are buying the shirt. So, friends, I start with a bit of advice on the program. If you're about to be arrested, or you know that in the future you may be arrested, choose your wardrobe carefully. Anyway, faced with all these issues this past week, I took it upon myself to visit my local hardware store. I think a hardware store, and I don't mean a warehouse store where, you know, they have all the stuff stacked up and it's a big warehouse and all the people approach you wearing either blue or orange aprons saying, "Can I help you?" And usually they can't, has been my experience. But no, a local hardware store where they have generally elderly or fellas that are in their 50s. Let's put it that way. Fellas in their 50s and beyond working there who seem to know their way around a workshop. So many times when I feel a little stressed, seriously, I go to my local hardware store. And there's just something about a hardware store that's truly a hardware store that has this array of tools from chainsaws to sharpening stones and hammers and hatchets and adzes and chisels and little springs and rope and all sorts of things that really bring peace and comfort. And I think it goes back to when I was growing up in Detroit. There was a place in Detroit, I'm sure it can't be there anymore, I don't think anything's there anymore, but it was called Viteri's Hardware, and it was not far from my house, and in this, it was a hardware store, but it also had sports equipment and toys, and the way they used to be, this is a long time ago, late 50s, early 60s. And my dad many times would have to go get some, you know, tools or screws or something that he was fixing around the house. And the same thing. They had guys that knew, "Hey, Al," and, you know, everybody knew everybody when you walked in. And, "Oh, yeah, I got that screw. What you need is a 7/16, because, you know, the 9/16, sometimes they don't cut it right. And if you use the 7/16, you can get in. And what are you using, pine?" And they just have this intrinsic knowledge of what it is you're trying to do. And many times while he was looking through what it was that he needed to get the job completed. I was looking at sports equipment, goalie pads. Because it was Detroit, they had a very large sports department for ice hockey. And it was one of the few stores that we ever went to that had the equipment right out there on the shelves. I mean, sports stores, you know, would have pucks and sticks and skates. But here at Viteri's, they had gloves and they had goalie equipment, the catch and the blocker and goalie. Well, they didn't even have masks in those days, goalie sticks and all that stuff. And so while my dad was, you know, checking all this stuff out and getting ready to make his purchase, I would sit in the sporting department. I'd put on the pads, check out the gloves and play fantasy hockey with myself in the aisle of the store. There was very few people in there. You know, it wasn't like a busy, busy place, but everybody would come in and nobody paid attention to the kid in the corner playing with the hockey equipment. And that, after a while, there was that fascination of looking at all these tools, the routers and the drills and the hand tools. And that's where my interest now lies, in antique and, pre 20th century tools, I guess. Is it Woodwright's Workshop? I don't know if you ever watched that on PBS. I love that show. The guy makes everything using old tools, using wood, but no power tools. And there's just something organic. It's like being on the water in a sailboat. You know, it's organic. There's no engine. You're just using the wind and you're flying across the waves. Same thing with woodworking. You don't have any power tools. You just use your elbow grease and a sharpened tool, be it a plane or a plane router, things like that. So anyway, I'm in the store on, I guess it was Wednesday this past week. And it was a conflict of worlds, but at the same time, in the middle of all this, here I am in my comfort zone. I was looking at files, actually, round files and square files and rasp files and all sorts of insane things like that. On the sound system in the store, they had Led Zeppelin, Aerosmith, and the Eagles playing. So that's my kind of music. That's my favorite music. So here I am listening to Steven Tyler screaming his lungs out, you know, and the Eagles warning me not to stay at the Hotel California. And I'm looking at the rasps and the handsaws and the clips and the, oh my gosh. I think I ended up buying a set of chisels that I really didn't need. But they were just so cool. They looked so nice. And it was a set of three chisels, so like $9.99. And now's a good time to be looking at tools because a lot of this stuff is on sale or, you know, left over from the holidays or something like that. Oh my gosh. I got that and I got a new bag for my jigsaw, which is a power jigsaw, I will admit. It does use a drill. And my power drill that I got at Harbor Freight for $16.95. They deal direct. All the stuff is made in China. I know. Don't get on me for that. But the prices, I mean, I'm looking at drills. I'm looking at tools. And you see stuff, you know, in some stores like chisels and things like that. Some of them are hundreds of dollars. Here, they're like 10 bucks. I don't know if they're going to last more than one project. But I feel like my wife, when she goes to Kohl's or Bed Bath & Beyond, I got a bargain. But in my case, it's on tools. But enough about me. I've got more things about me as we continue. It's Stoney Richards live from the center. It's our weekly podcast, so let's get things going. It is a political year, and I don't know, are we still in the silly season, or has that gone into the regular season now, or is this perhaps getting close to the playoffs? I don't know, but anyway, it never hurts to check, and I thank USA Today for doing exactly that. The final debate before the February 1st Iowa caucuses occurred just this past Thursday. and USA Today went through and fact-checked some of the things that the candidates are saying, because obviously a lot of the stuff they're saying, you tend to shake your head and say, what? Really? So, for example, Ted Cruz, born in Canada, said the law was quite clear that the child of a U.S. citizen born abroad is a natural-born citizen and therefore eligible to be president. Seems right. Legal consensus is on his side, but the issue isn't settled, and it still could require a Supreme Court ruling, which is kind of a chit in Donald Trump's bag. Speaking of bags, businessman Donald Trump described the Syrian refugees as mostly strong, powerful men. But most of the more than 4.6 million refugees registered with the United Nations are women and children. That's what happens when you get all your news from TV. Chris Christie repeated his claim that we double tax U.S. companies with overseas operations. The U.S. tax code provides a foreign tax credit to avoid that. Christie, Rubio, and Ohio Governor John Kasich all said that, and it's just taken me this long to realize that that's how the man's name is pronounced, John Kasich, all said that the U.S. has the highest corporate tax rate in the world. It's the highest statutory tax rate among industrialized nations, but not the highest marginal effective tax rate, according to one analysis. And I don't even know what the hell I just said. In the earlier debate, this is a good one, which I could not watch. I watched about 5 minutes of it, and I said, oh my gosh, why are these people even on? Former Pennsylvania Senator Rick Santorum, isn't it time to drop out, Rick? Claimed 2 million manufacturing jobs had been lost under Obama. The number is actually 230,000 jobs lost. Math. And finally, businesswoman Carly Fiorina said of the September 2012 Benghazi attacks, yes, we are still talking about them. When you do not say the United States, oh, this is the way she would say it. When you do not say the United States of America will retaliate for that attack, terrorists assume it's open season. In fact, the president repeatedly vowed to bring the killers to justice.
They're always making headlines, maybe telling white lies. They want to run the nation, the Kardashians.
Time once again for another exciting episode of the Clintodashians. In today's episode, we find Bill conducting a rather stately walk around their Chappaqua home.
Hey, Hill. What do you think? Does it make me look younger?
What in the world? Where did you get that hideous-looking shirt, Bill?
It's all a rage, Hill. It's the same blueprint shirt El Chapo was wearing when Sean Penn interviewed him for the Rolling Stone interview. He sent it to me.
Well, send it back.
Why? Does it make me look heavy?
Bill, I've got more important things to worry about than your fashion choices.
Well, I think this over a nice black pantsuit might just set the world aglow. I mean, Hill, come on. After all those high heels Rubio was sporting last week got him an awful lot of attention.
I don't need attention, Bill. I need poll numbers. Bernie's running neck and neck with me.
You want me to get back on the stump for you?
Not with that shirt, no.
Oh, here, let me get that. Hey, Bernie, just talking about you.
Hillary, Bill, I came over to say it looks like we've got ourselves a real horse race. Hey,
Bernie, I don't think Hillary is too much in the mood for talking right now. But I got to tell you, you're really making a mark in Iowa and New Hampshire.
Well, coming from you, Bill, that means a lot. But
you see, Bernie, here's my problem. I got some new designs on the White House that are all kind of...
Bill, I know that you and Hillary are ready to go to be fair and honest, but It will be her presidency, sir, if she wins, and that's not something, with all due respect, that you should interfere with.
Oh, Bernie, I'm not talking politics here. I'm talking decorating. I mean, I found some killer curtains for the Oval Office, and what do you think about a tennis court and a rose garden? I mean, we've had swimming pools and gyms and bowling alleys, but a tennis court in the rose garden?
Bill, what are you talking about?
Hi, Bernie. What brings you around?
Well, to be honest, Hillary, Bill just ordered me a new shirt, and he wanted to get my sizes right before they ship it.
Well, a new shirt? What do you know?
Or holy El Chapo. Find out if it's a button-down or not in our next exciting episode of The Glintodashians.
It is your Stoney Richards live from the Setter podcast. You can get it here on the website at stoneyrichards.com, also at iTunes, both as free podcasts, and you can always get in touch with us. Me, I'm on Twitter at Stoney Richards, or you can leave comments on the website if you so choose. Always good for that. You know, as I say every week, no matter where we go, you always see is people wearing signs that they're from Pittsburgh. No matter what, this was last week, the Powerball thing. Did you see? I guess it was in California, El Chino. Chino Hills, that's where it was. El Chapo, El Chino, Chino Hills. Chino Hills, California, they had, they showed the store where the ticket was sold, and in the background, there was Steelers paraphernalia. I can't think of a better lead-in. Ladies and gentlemen, Johnny Grieco, if you will, it is time once again for this week's Letter from Home, because no matter how far away you roam, I'm surprising El Chapo wasn't wearing a Steelers terrible towel. There's simply no place like home. And home is a good place to be if you were a Pittsburgh Steelers fan last weekend. Again, it didn't look good, but then again it did, and now again it doesn't. Two of the big Steelers stars probably out for Sunday's showdown in Denver, lost in an improbable win in Cincinnati on Saturday. It's amazing, really, when you consider they almost didn't win the last two games they were supposed to win, lost the game they should have won, and now seem to have no chance to get a win against the Broncos on Sunday. So much like the Powerball. You never know. Speaking of that lottery that was split three ways with winners in California, Tennessee, and Florida, I was standing in a drugstore line on Wednesday when an elderly gentleman got into a loud conversation with some of his senior citizen buddies, telling him exactly what he was going to do when he won. He said he was going to buy a small airplane. He didn't say he had a pilot's license or even knew how to fly, but I'm guessing he would be able to afford the lessons when he needed them. And talk about dreaming big, he said he was going to keep the plane at the airport in Butler. Pretty lavish, if you ask me. He said he would be flying it down to Myrtle Beach in the mornings to play golf and be back in time for the evening news and dinner. He then said he asked his son, who I assume he was flying down to play golf with, how much money he expected to make in 10 years and then was going to send him that amount so he could quit his job and be able to be around to play 18 with Dad. He then said he would take the rest of the money, and at this point it was, what, $1.5 billion, take the rest of the money he had left and give it away on a street corner. The improbability of all these things were what was so entertaining about this man's conversation that I overheard. Did he really believe that he was going to win? I don't know, but I think the vigor and excitement that he told that story with was worth something all the money in the world couldn't buy. When I heard the results of the jackpot, this nameless man in an anonymous lottery line somewhere in Western PA was the first guy I thought of, and I hope even without the personal jet and the millions that he will at least be able to pack his clubs and at least get down to Myrtle for maybe just one game this winter with his son. That man didn't win like so many millions of us, but overhearing his dreams out loud in that store
enriched my life and all of us around him this past Wednesday morning. I'm Stoney Richards, and that's this week's Letter from Home. I think it's pretty obvious you and I did not win the Powerball, because if you had, you wouldn't be listening, and if I had, I probably wouldn't be doing this. Although, maybe we might. I don't know. Brings to a conclusion another episode of the Stoney Richards Live from the Center podcast. Thanks all for checking these things out. Always on the web at StoneyRichards.com and as a free podcast on iTunes as well. Both free podcasts. And you can put your comments on the website, StoneyRichards.com. Or just send them to me. I'm on Twitter at Stoney Richards. Our thanks to Jeff Orovitz for webmastering this with precision. And of course, our musical conductor, Johnny Grieco. Have a good week. We'll do another one next week. Lord willing, in the creek don't rise. Thanks for listening to the Stoney Richards Live from the Center podcast.